This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie. We are really excited to tell you tonight about what God has been doing in our lives in the past couple of weeks. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And to get the full impact of this, I mean, we want to glorify God first off. There's something incredible has happened to us, and it involves God, it involves a lot of His people, and some unbelievable providences along the way.
No kidding.
But I think we ought to start with the background story.
I think so, too, because, you know, this story starts actually 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just stepping out into this ministry lifestyle. We'd spoken at other places before and you know, had been kind of nibbling around the edges, but God opened up a door for us, really, in 2009.
Well, you know, people have been asking us to write a book about boys for some time, and we just felt like we didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord gave us some time and kind of gave us some indication it was time to do it. So we wrote our book thinking that we just have something to sell around North Carolina where we were speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it just exploded. We started getting all kinds of invitations to speak all over the place and endorsements from people like Ted Tripp, you know, and we're just wondering, what on earth have you got in mind here, God? Well, what we didn't know is that Hal had stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and we discovered that as we were already making arrangements and signing contracts to speak at homeschooling conventions across in several states. And I asked my oncologist, as I'm going into chemotherapy and everything here, am I going to be able to continue doing this? He said, well, what do you do? We described it, and he said, well, I don't think you can, but if you feel up to it, you know, you are free to travel. But here are your restrictions. The chemotherapy is going to just completely blow away your immune system. You can't be on a crowded airplane. You can't be hanging around a convention exhibition hall shaking hands with people. You know, you're going to have to speak and then go back to your room or something, and because you just got to keep your exposure limited, especially since you're going to be in different parts of the country. So we made the decision, which was confirmed a bunch of different ways since then, but we made the decision we were going to drive rather than fly. And therein was a problem because our old Chevrolet van had been towed, what, six times
in the previous year.
It had electrical problems.
And it didn't have an air conditioner. It was really decrepit. And our mothers were worried to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hal's mom kept saying, you know, well, could we rent something? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was too expensive. It wasn't possible. And my mom kept saying, well, why don't you go look at this van? You know, see if you could buy that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, we don't have that kind of money. Well, why don't you look at this one? It's cheaper. Finally, I lost it with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's a believer, too. I said, Mom, look, we don't have any money. Hal has cancer. What if the Lord wants us to have a new van, He's going to have to give us a new van.
Okay. Well, about 2 days later, the phone rang. And I had been talking to a father in our local support group. I knew they had just bought a new van, but they hadn't sold the old one. And I had priced out the cost of a rental van, which is not cheap. And I thought, well, maybe if I offered him half of the rate Enterprise was going to charge us, you know, maybe he'd let us rent his van, and that would, you know, work out on both sides. And he calls up and he says, Hal, you know, I was talking with Julie, and we thought maybe you'd like to buy our van. Well, I just roll my eyes because I'm thinking, okay, here we go again. We don't have money. But I didn't say that. I said, well, Chad, it kind of depends on how much you want for the van. And he said, well, we thought maybe if you could just pay us $500 when, you know, when it was convenient, and no hurry on that. And I'm thinking, okay, $500 payments is what he wants. You know, how many? So I said, well, now, Chad, what's the bottom line? How much do you want in total? And he said, you don't understand. We just want $500. I said, let me sit down.
The van was worth way more.
Yeah,
than
the
that.
Van. The van was. It was a 15-passenger Ford Econoline, an E350, and it had, you know, fairly high mileage, but a lot of highway miles. They traveled back and forth to the Midwest to visit family, but it was in great shape, very clean. And we looked up the Blue Book value on it. It was like an $8,000 van in the condition as it sat. And I said, "You just want $500?" And he said, "Yeah, we had to get some body work done, and we thought, well, maybe if you would just pay us back the money we put into the body work, that we would just call that even. Because we really like what you're doing, we really believe in what you're doing, and we want to help your ministry."
And now, boy, was it a help! It just absolutely floored us. In fact, for the next 5 years, as we drove this van around the country, mm-hmm. every time we turned on the air conditioner, somebody would say, "God bless the Steinekers."
that family has been blessed over that air conditioning so many times. And it has been, oh, what a blessing that van was, you know, because we drove it, we made at least one trip all the way to the West Coast. We made a trip out to Idaho, Utah, and Arizona and back. Trips to New England, trips all over the Midwest.
It's been all over the country.
In fact, I was looking at the map the other day, and I realized that this van went from our little home in eastern North Carolina all the way to San Francisco. That's the furthest west. All the way to Saskatoon in Saskatchewan in Canada. That's farthest north. We've taken it to Tampa, Florida, which was just in January. We've taken it out to Plymouth, Massachusetts, which is actually east of Boston.
It's been all over the place.
So we covered the continent with this thing. And, you know, anything that's got 200,000 miles plus on it is going to have a few issues. We've replaced alternators. We had some transmission work. But
we did all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it was approaching the end of its useful life because it had, what, 330,000 miles?
I checked the odometer just the other day when we were leaving it, and it was 322,000 miles.
Wow. 322,000
plus a few hundred on top. Okay?
Yeah. So, enter this trip. We're heading off on this trip,
mm-hmm.
and we get, like, a couple of – it's just been a very challenging trip. We lost a wheel.
Well, now you're getting ahead of the story because we need to kind of set the stage for what happened this week.
Okay.
Because it's like I said, it's an old van. We put a rebuilt engine into it between the time that we got it and, you know, about what, 3 years ago,
yeah.
3.5 years ago, and we were hoping to see this thing go to, well, you know, actually, I remember thinking if we can get to 350,000, that would be pretty good, and we're awfully close. Actually, I wasn't thinking that. Terms, but okay, here we are last summer. Now, I got to say, 2014 was a kind of lean year for a number of reasons, and we were on one of our last scheduled events late last summer, and we're driving down to Louisiana, and it was very hot and heavy traffic, and my oil pressure started flickering. Oh, that's not good. But if I, you know, kept the speed up a little bit, you know, raced the engine at stoplights or whatever, it would clear up right away. But it worried me. So while we were down in Louisiana, I took it into a mechanic a friend had recommended, and said, "What do you think?" And he checked it over and he says, "Well, what I think is you're on the track to lose your main bearing." He said, "You know, when you crank it up, you get this rattle. You notice that?" I said, "Well, yeah, it's been doing that for a while." So, "Well, that's because you've got your main bearing is getting worn, and, you know, and so, yeah, I don't know, I'm speeding up. Yeah, I've got to speed up the car, too, right?" I say, "Well, we got a whole half hour to talk about this wonderful thing."
But we've got so many things to talk about the past couple of weeks, Al.
Okay, so I'll wrap this up. I'm trying to set the stage.
Okay.
So he says, "You're going to lose your main bearing." Well, you know what? We don't have the money to do anything about it, good or bad. And so he said, "Okay, so we'll just nurse it." So we've been driving it as little as we could, nursing it along, and it was, you know, sometimes it would run fine, and sometimes it would rattle, and oil pressure would give us a problem. Well, we got here to January, and it's definitely got issues. But we're thinking, okay, January, we're still catching up from last year's bills, but if we could just make these trips out in March, if we can get to North Dakota and back. That's two conferences, other things along the way. We should have some money at least to take it to the car doctor and say, "Give me the bad news, doc. Tell me the prognosis." So I was
See, we, most of our speaking is in the spring at conferences.
Spring and
so it's
summer.
It's really tough making it through the winter.
Right. And so we set out and we made the trip down to Florida in January and, you know, made it okay. And so we say, all right, we're just going to nurse it out there. So we got started and got up into the Chicago area.
Honey, before that, the first day we're out,
mm-hmm.
We come over a curb, leaving a parking lot, and lose a trailer tire. Did we lose the tire or the whole wheel?
We lost the rim. I think the tire's okay.
So we lost the rim.
The
very first night on the road.
That rim looked like it was getting hit by the sledgehammer. It was so
distorted. It was really weird. And so, yeah, that's not looking good for the trip starting out the first day.
What's a trip without a flat for us? I mean,
yeah, we've had a lot of flats. You know, we always have flats on the way to speaking engagements, never on the way home.
You know, several years ago, we just bought a hydraulic jack, and we keep it in the trailer because we get good at these pit stops.
That's sad, Hal.
That is. Hey, but, you know, the show must go on. So, yeah, the tire, okay. But we have a fresh new spare. We put that on.
Yep.
Everything's swell. So we get out to Indiana. We have an event in Evansville, Indiana, with the Southwest Indiana Home Educators. Great conference.
Yeah.
And it, you know, now it's to the point where it's dicey driving in stop and go traffic. I mean, you've got to come up to a stop sign, you shift it into neutral, and race the engine. And so it's getting to be a problem. As long as we're on the interstate, we're okay. Well, we got up to Chicago. And we're really fighting with it now. And we've got family just a little bit west of Chicago.
And there's a mechanic there
mm-hmm.
that someone tried to sell us a new engine a year or two ago, and he saved us from doing that. And
saved us thousands of dollars.
Yeah, just charged us $400 to repair it. Found the problem.
He took the trouble to find the problem. And I'm going to give him a shout-out. The guy's name is Tony. And his shop is Tony's Automotive, I think it's called it, in Geneva, Illinois. If you're ever in Geneva, Illinois, and you need an honest mechanic, Tony's a guy to go to.
Yeah, he is one okay. honest mechanic.
So he checked it out, and he says, well, it could be your oil pressure sender, the sensor that drives the gauge. So he slapped one on there. I mean, didn't even give it a second thought, and it didn't help. He said, well, that was the easy solution, and I'm afraid the other solution is going to be the answer. I said, what is it? He said, you're going to lose this bearing, and that means replacing the engine. I said, oh, you can't repair that, huh? He said, no, it's going to be replacing the engine, and the only option is, do you do a used engine, or do you do a remanufactured engine?
So we started out just praying, Lord, please just let this thing make it on this trip and make it home.
Yeah, because Tony said, you nurse it along, it may go for quite a while, it's just when it quits, it will stop, and that's it.
So we get out on the highway, and we make it up to the middle of Wisconsin. And the thing is, losing oil pressure even when we're going at highway speeds.
Even at highway speeds. Now we're getting where we can't really drive less than 60 miles an hour.
Without it just bottoming out. And,
yeah.
And the engine making noises. So we pull over at a truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we're feeling pretty low. Because, you know, we're wondering, what... Do you want us to get out of this ministry? Are you just making it impossible for us to continue because we're too stupid to realize we don't need to be in this ministry?
Well, because I confess, I'm persistent, stubborn, or I'm just slow to pick up. I don't know what it is. But, I tend to stay with things until I'm forced out. And that's kind of where I was. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to nurse this along, and you know, what's our next step? How do we get to the next town? You know, you never say die.
But it was looking like die.
But it was looking bad.
Yeah, here it's at the first of the season, every scrap of money we have, mm-hmm. we've invested in the stock to sell at conferences.
Yes.
There's nothing left. And we're just there by the side of the road. I'm wondering, am I going to need to pass the hat among our adult children to get, you know, bus tickets home or to rent a car to get us home? I mean, it was really bad.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? This is probably a time to take a break.
Let's just keep talking.
We'll just keep talking? Okay.
Let's keep talking.
What a great time. I mean, you know they're going to stick around because this is such a terrible place to stop. Okay. Anyway, so we'll continue.
Okay.
Here we are.
Station break. You're listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Yes. And who are you?
I'm Melanie.
And I'm Hal.
And our blog is RaisingRealMen.com. You can head over there to get all our resources for making biblical family life practical.
Mm-hmm.
And to find out where we'll be speaking, because we'll be speaking all over the country this year.
Honest to goodness. And, you know, just in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be in Atlanta with Teaching Diligently.
And then Chef of Louisiana, just outside Baton Rouge.
That's right. And we'll be at Habersham Homeschoolers in Cornelia, Georgia, on the way back from that trip. Those are all in April.
Next month we'll be at Shem in Missouri.
Oh, you skipped Christ Baptist Church in Raleigh.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to be a bunch of places in April. And then coming up in May, we're going to be at the Southwest Home Educators Ministries Conference in Springfield, Missouri.
And the NCHE Conference in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
And then we're going to be at Teaching Diligently in Sandusky, Ohio. So we're going to be all over the eastern half of the country.
In June, HEAV in Richmond and Portland, Oregon,
yes,
for
right.
the Ocean Network. Okay, let's
all
get back to the
good story.
I want to tell the story.
All right, so
we're
here we
really,
are. So
I looked at Hal. I said, Hal, I feel lower than a snake's belly. I mean, I really thought, Lord, maybe you're just telling us no, and we just can't understand it. We're just too willful. And so I put a prayer request out on our Raising Women Facebook page. And people started responding, and they said, for heaven's sakes, please put up a GoFundMe account. We want to help. Well, that was kind of hard. You know, it's a little humiliating to say, you know what, we can't help ourselves. We're at the end of our rope.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. And yeah. But we were at the end. We really couldn't help ourselves.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like you're standing in the intersection with a cardboard sign, we'll speak for food.
Honestly. And we were really, it was pitiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in a pitiful condition. So we put up this page.
And no expectation because,
no.
Yeah, we thought, okay, this is like a please help jar on the counter at the gas station.
Yeah.
You know? I thought, maybe if somebody wants to chip in a few $100 to help, I mean, that's a vehicle for them to do that.
So we put that up. And then we restart the van. It starts.
And so,
we limped into our friend's house.
And this is outside, this is in St. Michael, Minnesota.
Yeah, near Minneapolis.
It's just west of Minneapolis.
And we tell them all our travails, and we go to bed, and they start worrying about us.
So the next morning, because see, our friend Jerry is a morning guy, and so he's on top of his game next day at breakfast. And he says, look, I've been calling around the folks in our church, and I found a family who's going to the conference in Fargo, but they're going to take a small car because they're leaving the kids with a friend. And they've got a big van and said they would be glad for you to drive their van. So I already got a receiver for the trailer hitch and everything.
Yeah.
So we meet up with them and we pick up this, well, it's a little bit older van than ours, but a lot less mileage. And so their van's in good shape. So we take this borrowed van and we drive to Fargo.
Can you believe people loaning something as valuable as a huge 15-passenger van to people they've never met before?
And honestly.
I've got to say that they may be listening to this podcast because they told me they do listen to our podcast.
Do they?
They do. If you're there, we're so grateful for you.
We are so awesomely grateful for you. Yeah, so we come riding in style in this nice blue van instead of our old white one. And we get to Fargo. Boy, what a weekend we had in Fargo.
We've got to give a shout out to that family because they just started a new business in the St. Cloud area, Dassel, Minnesota. It's called Charity Heating and Air. Is that correct?
That's right. It is Charity Heating and Cooling Services, and the owner is Brian Zeglin.
And they just loaned us their van.
That's right.
Complete strangers, never seen each other before, and they hand over the keys to their van. Mm-hmm. And it was such a blessing because we needed to be working on our slides for the Fargo conference.
Yeah, and we had a new presentation we're trying to finish up.
And it was taking out every bit of his mind to keep our van going.
Boy, you have no idea.
So we made it to the Fargo conference, and wow, that conference was such a blessing. You live near there. It's the North Dakota Homeschool Association conference. Next year it's going to be in, what's the
Rochester,
capital?
I think?
Bismarck. Next year it's going to be in Bismarck.
Okay.
And it was a huge blessing.
What a great job they did with that event.
And fantastic people there. God just really blessed the ministry.
Yeah.
It was a huge up.
Oh, it was. It was a great encouragement for us, and I think we were able to bless some individuals there, too. And
so then we barreled back down.
So we come back to, you know, trade vehicles. And we were going to stay with the Zeglin family, but they had a virus going through the house, and we all kind of agreed that's probably not a good time.
We've been on the Vomit Across America tour, and that's no fun.
Well, that's no, yeah, because we've got other places to go. So we just agreed, all right, we're not going to do that. So we found other arrangements, but we traded vans. So I got the old Rattletrap van back. and we're nursing it down the road again.
And we're headed to Iowa this time.
Okay. And so we've got friends north of Des Moines. They're going to be hosting us for a couple of nights. And so we said, well, let's stop at their house and drop off our luggage, and then we'll go down. We're going to be speaking at a church in Newton, Iowa, okay, which is like due east of Des Moines. So we drop off the stuff. We have a quick supper, and then we get back on the road to Newton. Well, I didn't know that
Iowa had hills. I didn't even know Iowa had hills.
Iowa had not that kind of hill.
And, oh my word!
So we start.
So the van is like struggling up the hills,
and I've got the pedal to the floor,
and it won't go faster than 47 miles an hour.
Right, and we find out, and then it starts. Well, at first I said, you know, honey, we're not going to be able to get home with this van. Now, we can't get through the mountains of West Virginia with this van struggling like it's struggling.
Yeah.
So we're already thinking we're going to have to do something, maybe buy a beater and get ourselves home at least, and then we'll make some choices later. But I'm already kind of loosening my grip on this vehicle.
Yeah.
But after a few hills, we're losing oil pressure no matter what I do.
And I found,
if I can shift it into second gear manually and go screaming along at about 42 miles an hour, at least we're still moving.
Yes.
So we get into the city of Newton, and I mean, we're going every hill. We're praying, Lord, just get us to the top of it. We're praying out loud, you know, the whole van. Lord, get us to the top of this hill. Lord, can you get us? We're just 16 more miles. Can you just get us 12 more miles, Lord? Would you just please get us, you know, 4.5 miles, Lord? It's just all we're asking. I mean, this is a prayerful journey. And we get into the town of Newton. There's just a couple of miles, and it looks like we're going to make it. And we're on a hill through the town of Newton, and we get to a stoplight. So, you know, throw it in the neutral, racing the engine, and it's not making good sounds. It's making a rattle that it hadn't made before. And I'm thinking,
we're praying out loud, so
the light changes, and I shift it down to pull forward, and the van rolls forward about 6 feet into the intersection.
The busiest intersection in that town.
And there's a death rattle, and the van stops. And, you know, I've been thinking, will I have a little speech? You know, will I make an announcement when this happens? And at the moment it happened, I just said, and that's it. We're done. I mean, it was just,
and, you know,
it was prayer final.
2 hours early.
Yeah.
Before we were supposed to speak, but it took so much longer to get there because the van was in such horrible condition that it's 15 or 20 minutes before we're supposed to go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
now look, the whole time I'm massaging this van to get it up the hills and such, Melanie is typing like she's the telegraph operator on the Titanic. I mean, she's sending out messages on Facebook and email, and I don't know what all she's doing, but she's got people praying us over this trip. And we, so when we get to that point, she's already got a connection up, and she just says, all right, we're stuck. Here's the intersection. 5 minutes. There's two men in big trucks show up.
From the church where we were supposed to be.
From the church.
And they show up to help.
Mm-hmm.
So we get on the phone, and we're trying to get, you know, Good Sam to come pick up, to come tow the van out of the intersection.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to speak, so we leave one of our older sons.
Yeah,
an adult son.
Yeah.
Adult son was with us. We leave him with the van.
Mm-hmm.
We ride with one of the men over to the church to speak.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, it's been delayed, so everybody's giving testimonies and everything to try to keep everybody busy.
We've got a church full of people. They're eager to see you. You know, they're encouraging us.
Yeah.
So we
walk in, and as we're about to go up on stage, a man runs up from the back door. He said, I hear some friends from Wellsburg are going to come get you.
Right.
We said, yes. He said, give me their phone number and just trust me. It's going to be all right. We'll take care of this.
Well, what can you do at that point?
I know. So, we're supposed to go.
He said, okay, here's our friend's name and number.
Because we're walking in there saying, here's Helen Melanie Young finally here. And people are cheering.
I was selling an entry on
it
Oprah
was hilarious,
or something.
Yeah.
That's not the way we normally do. But anyway, okay, fine. So we go up on stage. We give two presentations. It went, you know, really well, really good response. Felt like it was good ministry. And when we get done, we're starting to wrap things up. Well, meanwhile, our auto service has towed the van and the trailer into the parking lot. So all us and our wreckage are all together again.
and so the boys jump out there
and
set up the booth so that people can get our resources and everything.
Right. But we're wrapping things up, and we step down, and our friend, who we now find, his name is Troy. Troy says, okay, here's the story. I have a brother-in-law who's a mechanic and also a car dealer, and he has a 12-passenger E350 with a receiver on it, and he's going to loan it to you.
Well, what he didn't tell us is that his brother-in-law at Country Motors in Eldora.
Country Car Auto, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a receiver on there for us.
Yeah, he slammed the hitch receiver on there because he said, oh, these people have a trailer. Okay.
People are so amazing. God's people are the kindest people in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, just he would do that for people he never heard of, you know.
Uh-huh.
But he's a believer, too, and he installed the hitch receiver on the van.
Yep.
They get it down there. So he says, you can use this van while you're here in Idaho.
Iowa.
So, I mean, I don't know where I am.
Yeah. And so,
we're here in Iowa.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we got transportation. So, yeah, this is Monday night. So Monday night, the van is dead. Long live the van. And so we're in this borrowed van, and we're going to come back to our friends in Wellsburg, which is an hour away, okay? So next morning, our friends there are farmers, and they have access to big machines. And they said, look, I've got chores to do this morning, but after lunch, I've got a gooseneck trailer. We can go down and get your van. Okay, great. So we do that. So we go down there, and after lunch, we're standing there in freezing rain, and I won't describe what we had to go through to get that van up on the trailer.
Let's say we had to do it in a southern redneck way.
We had to do it in a creative country boy can survive kind of way, but it worked.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine. No damage or harm to anything. So.
And it wasn't even exciting enough for YouTube video.
Well, I just haven't uploaded it. But anyway, so at this point, we've used up the whole afternoon, and we're going to be speaking at a camp in another town in Eldora, Iowa.
Yeah, Christian Camp Pine Lakes, cute place.
So we said, we're in communication back home, and Melanie says, look, I got your speaking clothes here. We'll meet you at the camp. It's kind of between, sort of a triangular thing, but it's sort of between the two places. So me and our friend and our older son that was helping me, and younger son who's helping as well, the four of us go to the camp. Well, I'm just a few miles up the road. I get a call from Melanie, and she says very matter-of-factly, I've lost a wheel on the trailer. I said, what? And she said, it passed me going down the hill. I've lost a wheel on the trailer. I said, is everybody okay? She said, yes. So what happened here?
So when I found out Hal's not going to make it back to their house in time to get dressed, I race around, get all his speaking clothes ready, get my speaking clothes ready, get all the children ready, load it up in the borrowed van. We head to the Christian camp. And, you know, God's providence is amazing here. Because my friend was leading us to the Christian camp because their church, Sovereign Grace Baptist,
in Dalles, Iowa,
was sponsoring this event at Pine Lake Christian Camp. And she's leading me there, and she misses the turn. And so we have to drive down the road and back up. And that, I'll tell you later, that was very providential. Just remember that. We had to drive down and back up. As I'm coming down the hill into the camp, I hear this horrible racket, and I thought, oh, no, the borrowed van sign. It wasn't the van. Pretty soon, I see the wheel of the trailer, not the one that broke
the first night.
The first night, but the other one.
The other one came off.
Goes rolling down the hill in front of me. And, yeah, by this time, I'm getting a little shell-shocked, so no, I didn't panic. At that point, I'm just like, what? And I don't know if you saw the picture on Facebook, folks, but my face is very eloquent.
Well, we've got another picture that we published around because at this point, me and my friend and two sons pull up with our dead van on the trailer. And so we have this parade on the curve of the road. We have the borrowed van with the trailer sitting on one wheel and the dead van on a trailer and the wheel in the foreground, obviously not connected to anything any longer. And I just said, this is how we roll.
Not. Now, there were a couple of neat providences here, because if my friend, if Julia had not missed the turn, then the wheel would have fallen off on the way back out that night, and probably on the highway, it could have broken the axle, and it was a horrible night of freezing rain, snow, sleet, goosh. Oobleck. It was an oobleck night. And so that would have been horrible. We wouldn't have had any help. Instead, it drops on this dry dirt road with about 6 inches of loose dirt.
Yeah.
And so it drops down there so that it's just like, poof, the axle lands in the soft stuff perfectly safe.
Yep.
Now, by the time this next providence is, by the time it had hit the ground, this Roger, the maintenance manager for the camp, it had barely hit the ground. I'd barely gotten out of the van before he is on his face in the dirt with his toolbox working on it.
Apparently, he was sitting in the bushes waiting for us or something because it was like, okay,
I kept looking for a tape, you know?
Yeah, we pull up and Roger's not in evidence, but his tools are all spread around the trailer. And this hadn't been, you know, 15 minutes since I talked to you first.
Well, again, Roger says, y'all just go in and speak. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, he finds a trailer wheel that doesn't fit the trailer, but enough to get the trailer down to where we're speaking at the camp.
Yeah, there's only two lugs still present on the hub at this point.
Yeah.
But you're just going to walk it up there, wobble, wobble, wobble.
And so the boys jump into action, set up our booth so those people can have access to our resources.
Yeah.
We speak twice. Roger sat in and listened to us speak both times, even though we didn't think he'd have time to.
Yeah.
And we get done, and Roger says, look, just don't worry about the trailer. Y'all take care of the van.
Yeah.
Just do whatever you need to do with the trailer.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the trailer. Just call me tomorrow.
Okay. So this is Tuesday night.
Well, Wednesday, right.
So
we get up.
Now we've got dead van, broken trailer, borrowed van, and this is still spread out through central Iowa.
Yeah, over a couple hours of Iowa. And it's getting ridiculous. It's like, what else can break? Us?
Okay. So yeah. So
I'm like, children, walk carefully. No broken legs, okay?
So Wednesday morning, we get up and say, okay, we got to figure out what we're going to do. Well, Troy had revealed that he is in the car sales business, actually in the large diesel truck business, but he's a dealer. And he said, look, I think I know where I can get you into a van. And so I said, well, fine, you check it out and we'll talk. Okay, so we talk on Wednesday morning, and he says, okay, the place I was looking first is not available for one reason or another. However, I've got an idea where there may be some corporate vans that are available for resale, and I'll call you back. Well, he calls us back.
And evidently, that kind van, homeschool dad, Christian, had been calling all over central Iowa to find the right van.
Right. So he calls us back and says, look, Pella, Iowa, now this is almost 2 hours away, Pella, Iowa, is the home of Vermeer Corporation. They make grain handling equipment. And we see it all over the place in the southeast. But they've got a big corporate, I think, made their headquarters right there. He said they had a fleet of 15-passenger vans, which they have traded in. They're going for a lease arrangement or something. So the dealer that sold them now had these 10 vans. He's down to just two of them. But they're just a few years old, and they're kind of low mileage. And he said he's only asking, you know, do we put prices on this?
I wanted to, we missed something here.
What did we miss?
Okay, back when we were talking about starting up the GoFundMe, the amount that we needed to replace the engine, just immediately people just gave right away.
Yeah, that was going to be like $6,000.
And that stunned us. We're just like, wow, God, look what you have done.
Because you know, $6,000, that's enough. You can buy an old junker van that'll at least get you home.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can resell it on a Craigslist or something.
We just were absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
And then people said, look, you need to increase the amount of the GoFundMe because we don't think it's a good use of money to be putting a third engine in this rattle trap van with over 300,000 miles on the original
transmission
and everything.
Yeah, and that's true.
You know... So we increased the limit to what, you know, kind of our dream, and thinking, no way, you know, this is impossible. Well, that day, Wednesday, we look at it, and it's very possible. But, you know, Troy goes, he talks to this dealership.
Yeah.
And the retail value of the van that was there was more than had been raised.
Yeah.
And he talks to him, and he talks him down.
He explains to him that we're in ministry, that we're stranded far from home, that we're depending on donations from our friends and supporters to help us out of this hole.
Well, first he talks him down because he's a dealer. Then he starts all that about us, and he gets it down to where we can afford it with the GoFundMe and afford to pay the taxes and tags and stuff.
Right.
And then he says, great, I'll send them to you. So he calls us, and
up.
I don't know how many dealers he must have talked to, because you realize Des Moines is only about an hour from him. I'm sure he called there first. This place is 2 hours away. You know, it's way off.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the borrowed van, we drive down there.
And see, we'd spent the whole day doing research, so we knew what used vans sold for in this market. Okay. We look at that price and say, you know what? That beats anything that we've looked at. We're not going to be able to improve on that, even if we just got home. I mean, this is beyond reasonable. This is a deal.
Yeah. So we get there, and it's like, wow, because the van had been used like as an airport shuttle or something to take their executives to airport and stuff, so it was in great condition. It was even under factory warranty.
Yeah, get that. Still under factory warranty.
Now, remember, this is 1 week after we're stuck by the side of the road in Wisconsin. We put up the GoFundMe. We're as low as a snake's belly.
And remember, the van we were driving, we had literally driven it into the ground. 322,000 miles. It was 13 years old.
We drove it every mile it would drive.
Yeah.
And we looked down, and this is what God has done. Because the money transferred to our account that day, we're able to write a check for that van. And God did even more than that. Even more than supplying the van,
yes,
people shared what we had meant to them. How God had used what we had said.
Yeah.
And the things that we had written and how God had used it in their lives. And only about a fourth of the messages are public. There are many messages private to us that you guys can't read. I told somebody, I can't stop leaking joy from my eyes.
Yeah.
Because we had been wondering, was God saying, you need to get out of this ministry? And instead, there was a resounding yes.
Keep going. And you know, he's done that to us a few times to say, okay, I just want to make sure you understand where this is coming from.
Now, don't go yet, folks, because there's still some more problems.
We got some more stuff.
To tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But you know, it was very much, I felt like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
That moment when everybody comes in and they just pour out the love. You know, when he thinks all is lost, it's all, we've come to the end, and people say, no, you've only started. We're going to make sure you keep going.
I felt just like that.
I felt just like George Bailey.
And it was, you know, I would have given a great deal just to read those testimonies of what God has done. If there was none of the rest
great.
Of the story,
wouldn't
just reading those testimonies was a huge blessing to us. So then we write a check for this van.
Which, by the way, has the trailer hitch receiver and the towing package on it.
It had everything we need. It had the towing package. Y'all, it even had a vinyl floor. And let me tell you, if you've ever lived in the van with your kids for 3 weeks driving all over, you know how badly you don't want carpet in your van.
No more worry about the carpet.
Yes.
No more guilt.
So we drive off in there, and then we remember, uh-oh, we forgot to call Roger at the camp.
So we call Roger up and said, okay, what's the story on the trailer? He said, all right, here's what I've done. I took the hub off, and I drove it over to Hubbard. That's another hour away.
He drove it an hour away.
This stranger,
but our brother in Christ, drives the hub, takes the hub off the axle, drives it an hour away to get it repaired.
Gets it repaired. And he said, and then I fished around in our supplies, and I found a rim that we weren't using. And so, you know, I was going to put your tire on there, but I knew she had a couple bald spots. So I went to the dealer and I got you a new trailer tire. Really?
It's a trailer tire.
It's got a trailer tire mounted on a rim that didn't belong to me, you know, and puts that on there. He says, you're all set to go. And I said, well, all right, how much do we owe you? He said, yeah, I don't owe me anything. I said, Roger, I mean, look, you put in all this time. You've put in, you know, the supplies. At least let's pay you something. And he says, well, okay. So he lists off, you know, the amounts
he wouldn't let us reimburse him for the gas or for the time. And you know what?
And I said, Roger, a worker is worthy of his wages. Can I give you something for your trouble? And he said, this is what I do. I mean, he just totally...
A man with a spiritual gift of service.
Just service.
He told us how, you know, a busload of Canadians had come down for church retreat to the camp. And I think they blew a bearing in their wheel or something.
Yeah.
And he repaired it before they got ready to go. Just a man with the gift of service.
Yeah.
And using it to glorify God. And that was such a blessing because the trailer was just ready. We could just hook it up. It was ready to go.
Wow. And so we have our new van and we have our light new trailer.
And then we have the dead van in our friend's yard.
You know, and I didn't tell you about that trailer, by the way. I knew that tire was getting at the end of its life, and I was just praying, Lord, just let me focus on the van. Just keep that tire going, okay? because when that tire goes, we've already used the spare. I'm going to have to drop the trailer on the side of the road, go find a dealer, blah, blah. We've done this kind of thing. And, you know, God took care of that. So, all right, so now this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Now, Wednesday we buy this, you know, we got all the stuff together. Now we got to dispose of the van.
Dispose of the old thing.
So we got
to leave
it
there at a friend's house.
And as it happens, you know, just happens, our friends live just over the hilltop from I'll call him a recycler. Some people would call him a junk dealer. But he collects old farm machinery, you know, any kind of scrap metal and stuff, sells parts, whatever. So he's just like a half mile away. So our friend just hooks up his towing chain. It's all backcountry dirt roads anyway. And so we drag the old decrepit van back up to our junk dealer. And I talked to him and he said, well, you know, I can't really, you know, pay you for it until I get the title, you know, for reasons that I'm sure you understand. I said, sure.
Yeah.
Well, we get up there and we take the tires off because the tires we've got on there, thanks to another kind donation, only have a couple of 3,000 miles on them. So we don't want to send those to the junk heap. So we take the wheels off, and now the four van's sitting there on the side of the on the side of the road with no wheels. And the owner of the junkyard says, well, what do you do for a living? And I explain. And he said, you know what? I think you're a good risk. He said, I'll go ahead and write you a check for this. Now, I told him, well, we're about 3 days away, but I'll be glad to mail you the title and you can send me a check in return. He said, I'll go ahead and write you a check today. So we walk into his office, and he turns to his bookkeeper, who also is his wife, and said, go ahead and write him. How much do I tell you? And I said, well, you told me $200 is scrap value. And he said, yeah, go ahead and write him a check for $240. And he tells his wife, you know, so I could hear it. He said, I know if he was trying to scam me, he would have taken those fish off the back doors in a minute. I got this whole school of fish on the back because we got this from a large family like our own.
Yeah.
And so so he went ahead and wrote us a check. Wow. Okay, so we leave with, you know, the van's disposed of. We have a new van. We have a trailer that's been made reliable again. We've made new friends. And, you know, there's so many things. One of the things that kind of struck me when I saw that the van was terminal, and this has been back some months ago, I started kind of quietly and guiltily praying, Lord, could you take it out? Could you take the van away in such a way that the insurance will at least give us a few thousand dollars to start us over again? Because, you know, if it just dies, it dies. But if, you know, Lord, a meteorite maybe, you know, a tree fall on it, just something. I didn't do anything to encourage that, but just, Lord, can you? And you know what? It's like God said, I hear you, son. And I'm going to give you so much more. The insurance is going to give you $2,000 for that. I'm going to give you so much more, and I'm going to involve like 366 people who have personally invested in this ministry and feel this connection to you, and I'm going to get myself glory all over.
Amen, and may he be glorified.
Amen.
Yeah,
indeed.
This is the verse I thought of through all this.
Uh-huh.
It says,
yeah.
Ephesians 3:20.
Yep.
And Father writes, let me scroll down here, Father, write one down here.
Your translation.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You know, God is so amazing. You know, he has blessed us so much.
Mm-hmm.
He's done so much. And in such a way that it encouraged us to keep going. Because he could have taken care of us in any number of ways. But hearing from literally hundreds of people that it meant so much to them that they were willing to share, that they were willing to glorify God and to share with us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we'll read the rest of that.
Yeah.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
There are so many people that have glorified God this past couple of weeks. You know, our friends Ed and Julia that just put up with us extra days while we're figuring all this out and fed us and blessed us and took time off and loved us and hauled our broken belongings all over the country, all over the countryside there in Iowa. You know, Troy, who took so much time to find us a van, Roger, who fixed the trailer, you know, Mark, that loaned us the loaner van.
Yeah.
And all of you who prayed and shared and gave, to him be glory in the church.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
It's the people of God, and it's been a testimony to me. One of my friends said on my Facebook status, she said, you know, reading this story makes me realize that my idea of God, my view of God is too small.
You know, I've got to say, I used to be in a corporate engineering position, and I had a predictable salary and a retirement plan, and, you know, everything was all lined up. And it was very easy to think it's because I'm smart and good looking.
Yeah.
And I knew that God was behind it all, but it's easy to kind of just file that away. And when God moved us into an entrepreneurial lifestyle and then into ministry, you know, when you really see day to day, no, it's God that gives you the power to make wealth, and it's God
right.
who provides your daily needs, and God is holding you up. And it's providing in ways you would never expect or even dare to ask for. But he delights mm-hmm. to do these things, just so you see that you couldn't have done this.
Right.
Let me talk about providence here. Okay, I'm a big fan of this doctrine because I've seen it so much in my own life. And I see this chain of things that, you know, being near breakdown on the side of the road and that cry from the heart that you put out there on social media, you know, got people praying, got people interested, and that was circumstance that God put in our path. And then when we got to Minneapolis, or got to Minnesota, and the family loaning us the van, you know, that gave us another 400 miles of life on that van, the trip to Fargo and back. And I was looking at the map, and, you know, if that van just had 400 miles of life left in it, it would have dumped us in the empty spot in the southern part of Minnesota. That's where we would have broken down.
Yeah.
I checked it out. And so, you know, that got us to Iowa, okay? And then, you know, when we got to Iowa, that dramatic fight to get to Newton, with people sitting in the church worrying about us and praying about us, and, you know, they were all on top of this. So that, you know, when we get there, at the moment that it breaks down, people are ready to help.
And you know what? It wasn't even supposed to be in Newton.
That is, to me, is one of the biggest things. It wasn't even the original city. Because originally, our friend Amy had invited us to an event. She was going to set something up in Tipton, which is about an hour further east. And for one reason or another, she couldn't pull it together there, but she had friends in Newton. And said, look, I'm going to hand you off to my friend Mindy, and she's going to set it up with her church there in Newton, or with a church there. And so the fact that we were in Newton at all was a providential event. It was something that we didn't plan, that wasn't the original, but hey, we're adaptable and we just go where God leads us.
Yeah.
And so here we are, and we broke down with people eager to help, anxious to help, ready to help, and to surround us with the kind of help we needed, with people that had equipment to haul us around, people who had a vehicle to loan, people who had connections to get us a vehicle.
Yes.
And all of these things God orchestrated and put together and brought to fruition in his timing and for so much glory to him.
In the perfect timing, in the perfect place, with the perfect people. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
That God had his people standing ready at every step of the way to bless us and to help us, you know, and, you know, we have seen God answer prayer so many times. You know, we said Hal had stage 4 cancer. Next month, Hal will be 5 years cancer-free.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've seen God answer prayer again and again, but this mm-hmm. was such a dramatic thing and involved so many different people, that I just realized, yeah, my view of God is often too small, that I worry and fret instead of trust and pray.
And you know, I think we know the right answer. We know that God
yeah.
can do this, and he has done it in the past, but we don't dare hope for it. We don't want to be presumptive.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to put it out there and say, you know, I'm trusting God to do this particular thing, but rather to
because
say
we don't know what He's going to do.
But we do know that we serve a loving Father who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And I tell people we had kind of a transmission disaster with the old van in a very inconvenient spot a few years ago
on top of a mountain,
and that's another long story. But I thought at the time, well, God, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, parked several of them in my driveway.
Yeah.
And now He's taking one out of my wallet and giving it to this mechanic in Modesto, California. Praise be to God. I don't know why, but this is God's, it's all God's cattle.
Yeah.
And just to see, you know, I know that He can provide. I know that He delights to take care of His children. And like the other parts in the scripture, we said, even if He slays me, I will still praise Him. I will still trust Him. Because I know if He calls me to that, it's for my good and for the glory of His kingdom.
Amen.
So, you know, so we've taken some extra time to talk about this because really it's important, I think, to hear these stories and to see that God is real and God is active. And, you know, if we had that day in Wisconsin, if God had spoken to us from a cloud saying, I'm going to bless you with a new van and lots of new friends, and it's all going to be taken care of, are you willing to go through it? Who would say, oh, yeah, sure, great, lead me to it.
But He doesn't do that because that doesn't build our faith. That doesn't make us Christ-like.
No.
You know, faith is the evidence of things not seen. And, you
right.
know, I'm looking here at this post, Hal. It was March 17th at 8:01 p.m.
Yes.
You know, just 13 days ago.
Yeah.
Trying hard to trust God and not cry. We're about a third of the way into a 3,000-plus-mile speaking trip. The mechanic just told us that the 15-passenger van we're driving is going to have a new engine very soon, really at any time now. We're praying hard it gets us through this trip and home, but then what? We're only home 9 days before we start out again driving to conferences. I know God is in control, but this seems like awful timing. We have at least 2, sometimes more, conferences a month between now and the end of July all over the country. Please pray, sweet friends. You know, I thought it was awful timing, but it was God's perfect timing.
Every step of it.
Every step of it to get us in the right place at the right time to take care of us and to love us and encourage us and to glorify Himself. Folks, you know what? He can take care of you the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And He will take care of you. He will take care of His people. He's promised that He would.
Right.
And I just encourage you to trust Him. And I thank you for giving, for sharing, for praying, for encouraging us, because we really needed it.
Yeah, it means a lot.
It means the world to us.
Think about that when you have opportunity. You know, we got a few notes from people that said, I really have no money to contribute, but I really appreciate what you're doing, and I'll be praying for you. And those people mean a lot to us.
They mean tremendous amounts
to us. And we're that way, too. And, you know, sometimes we feel awkward. Sometimes we think, I can't do anything practical. You know, I don't know them that well. I don't know what to say. You know what? Just say something. Just share the scriptures. Just pray for them and just express love because it means so much. If you can give, give. But if you can't give, pray. Pray anyway.
Pray
and
encourage people, encourage one another. The body of Christ is supposed to love. You know, it says, you know, how shall men know that you belong to? How is that you're?
So
they will
know
that you are brethren by your love.
By your love for one another.
Yeah,
yes.
They will know you're Christians by your love. Yes. And that is so true. And, you know, it's been a testimony to our friends and family that don't know the Lord to see what God's done through this. You know, it has been a testimony to us. It's just been incredible. Okay, here it is, John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Yeah, and so we want to encourage you on that, and we just, again, we praise God, we are thankful for His people, and
we know many of you are out there listening now or will listen later. Can I just say, I really wish I could give you a big hug, and that you could see the tears of joy running down my face,
mm-hmm.
that you could see the joy in our little children's faces, see the relief in our adult children as we got safely home here to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could just know what you mean to us, because you mean so much. We're so grateful to God for you.
So, well, I think it probably wraps us up for now. But like we said, if you're going to be in the Gulf States, we're going to be in in Atlanta, Georgia, Cornelia, Georgia, and in Baton Rouge, actually in Baker, but that's Greater Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
That's going to be in April, as well as speaking at Christ Baptist Church in Raleigh, and I will be teaching in our own church a couple of weeks later in Garner, which is Greater Raleigh. Then we're going to be in Springfield, Missouri, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and Sandusky, Ohio in the month of May.
And Richmond, Virginia, Portland, Oregon in June. And you can find out about all this by going to our site, RaisingRealMen.com, and clicking on events.
Yes.
And it will take you to our calendar so you can find out where we're going to be. We still have some openings and to stop at churches and homeschool groups between those conferences.
Absolutely right.
And we would love to do that. We can do that at basically little or no cost for your group because we're already on the way.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised what's on the way.
From
A to B does not mean a straight line for
us. Yeah, and we love to bless churches and groups that couldn't bring us in otherwise.
Well,
by
that's
doing
one of
that.
The things we do with the van, you know, by driving. That means we can stop in places like Corydon, Indiana, and Newton, Iowa, and Cornelia, Georgia. You know, those churches want to hear speakers. They want to hear teaching. They want to encourage and to be encouraged. But it's, you know, there's expenses involved, and that's just not something within their realm of possibility sometimes. But when we're traveling in the van, suddenly doorways are opened.
And that allows us to bless them. And also, it allows us to keep our children with us. And, you know, we just don't want to lose our kids teaching other people how to raise theirs.
Yeah.
And so all of our children that are home travel with us.
Mm-hmm.
As we go across the country, we homeschool on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so thankful for that.
So we want to encourage you, if you're anywhere in the United States and you'd like for us to stop by sometime, you know, just we keep a list of people and when we're going to be traveling in the area, we'll say, hey, we're going to be through Montana. We're going to be in Kansas or whatever. Are you still interested? And we can start the conversation at any point. So,
yeah, particularly in June in the West, if you're interested in us stopping and doing a marriage retreat at your church, Raising Real Men retreat, Biblical Family Life Conference, anything like that.
Yeah, our travel arrangements are not set yet for that trip to Oregon. We may fly, but there's a possibility we may not. So just let us know if you're interested. And you can reach us for that at speaking@RaisingRealMen.com.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie. Or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.